Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Rocking out to the Sunday Spin theme music. Actually, it's Amanda Vinicky here. Typically with WTTW-TV's Chicago Tonight and filling in for Rick Pearson this morning as he recovers from shoulder surgery. So as I noted at the top of the program here, or perhaps you hadn't had your coffee yet or gotten out of bed, but encouraging everyone to call in, of course, with any questions, comments, concerns for me or the guests, but especially this morning to give well wishes to Mr. Pearson. You can do so by tweeting at us. The handle is at Sunday Spin. On Facebook, you just go to Facebook and it's The Sunday Spin, or give it a call to 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. I am joined now by another of members of Illinois' congressional delegation, and that is U.S. Representative Robin Kelly. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, and let me give my best wishes to Rick and a speedy recovery.
I'm sure he'll be, if he's not listening live, he'll be listening via podcast, I'm sure. So on his behalf, I'll say thank you.
You're welcome.
So may I also ask you the question, of course, the news is this deal, the supposed ability to break the logjam as proposed by the president yesterday. What are your thoughts on it? Is it acceptable? Is this a path forward?
It's, first of all, it's a log jam that he started and said he would take responsibility for. I think that before we get into any negotiations, we need to open government. We need to stop holding people that don't have anything to do with it hostage. And I think the problem with the president is that he doesn't tell the truth. And I think he needs to show a good faith effort by opening government, and then we can negotiate. Not he gets his way ahead of time, you know, because he's not trustworthy, because there was a deal and he's the one that went back on the deal.
You know, the president, I know he talked about, I think, early in December, saying that if there's a shutdown, he owns it completely and he's, quote, proud to shut down the government. And yet, this latest effort shows just that, right? That he's making some sort of effort. So now is it on Democrats to come forward with some sort of recognition that he's given some, now it's time to give? Is there any amount of money that you would vote for in terms of a, as he's described it, a physical barrier, a wall of some sort, or is a wall, period, a non-starter?
Well, I'm against the wall, and mainly because experts say that they don't think a wall would do any good. And even Republicans from Texas, they don't want the wall either. So it's not, you know, people say the Democrats, but it's also, you know, our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that don't want the wall either. And experts say that, you know, it really won't stop things. I am perfectly fine with giving more money for Border Patrol, for technology, for scanning equipment and things like that, that I think will really, really help, but not for a wall. And there was money offered. It just wasn't the amount that he wanted.
The $5.7 billion.
I guess I'm saying, like, how do we know if we agree to this that he will really live up to his part? Because he hasn't. He doesn't tell the truth.
How do you get over that on this, or frankly, any other sort of negotiations in government? There isn't an election until 2020, and heck, he could win again. Is government basically at a standstill for at least another couple of years, given that lack of trust?
That's hard to hear that he can win again. Well, I think that, and as last week, more Republicans voted with Democrats, and even in the Senate, Republicans are working with Democrats. So And I think that Mitch McConnell and those Republicans have to speak up, you know, more to him, not just speak in private about, you know, what they're unhappy about. No, I mean, I think things, you know, it's not just about him. You know, we have to progress on other things, you know, health care, gun violence prevention. And, you know, I think we'll move on other things. And, you know, he's not just going to stop the show, and we're not going to let him. But I just feel like if we give in on this, you know, he's just not trustworthy. That's the only way I can say it. And every time he doesn't get his way, is he going to shut down the government?
How long do you anticipate this current shutdown lasting? When will there be a breakthrough? I hesitate to ask people to make predictions, and yet, really, right, 30 days in, again, I covered Illinois' budget impasse, and I don't think anybody at the onset would have ever imagined it would have gone on for years. Mm-hmm. So might there be a breakthrough?
I mean, I'm hoping in the next week or two, we were called back. So hopefully, you know, in the next week or two, I don't want to see this go on. The Illinois delegation met with people from American Federation of Government Employees, and hearing their stories, people from HUD, the Treasury, TSA, IRS, you know, and it's their stories plus, you know, the ripple effect with the people they serve, the ripple effect with the economy. I was at a small business, and they said at first they didn't feel it. This was in D.C., but now they're feeling it that, you know, people aren't getting paid. So, you know, I hope that we can end this within next week as soon as possible.
And I will get back with you after the break on effects locally of this partial federal government shutdown. Amanda Vinicky on the Sunday Spin, speaking with Congresswoman Robin Kelly. We'll be back right after this. Good Sunday morning, and thank you for listening to WGN Radio 720, the Sunday Spin. Your host for this week, filling in as Rick Pearson recovers, is yours truly, Amanda Vinicky, with WTTW-TV Chicago Tonight. And I'm joined right now by Congresswoman Robin Kelly of the 2nd District. Just before that break, Congresswoman, we were talking about the federal shutdown, and I know that you and other members of the delegation met on Friday, I believe it was, with those who say that they've been affected. You got to some of that, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to perhaps explain to those that say, all right, Washington, D.C. is far away, things seem to be functioning just fine for me. In what ways does the federal shutdown impact people who are residents of the state and maybe depending on government services that are affected and not even realize it?
Right. There's about 7,400 federal workers in Illinois that are furloughed or working without pay. And we met with people from the Treasury, IRS, HUD, EPA, TSA, Federal Aviation, and, you know, they talked about, of course, like landlords are asking for their rent, you know, banks are asking for their mortgage, but also they talked about, like in HUD, the people that are going to be affected, that may have to leave the homes that they live in, you know, seniors and people with disability because money is not coming in. Of course, we know about TSA. Already, they're being asked to work without pay, and people are calling in, or people are working, you know, more shifts than normal. So it's that concern for the actual workers and their families, and then it's the people that they serve, and then again, it's the economy, because if people don't have money, they're not going to shop. So this reverberates all over.
Now,
and then EPA was talking about, you know, they can't check the things they're supposed to be checking, you know, water, land, air. So, of course, you know, that hurts neighborhoods, cities, the country.
I'll give a shout out here to an article, I believe, in this Sunday's Chicago Tribune regarding problems in the Great Lakes and the issues that zebra mussels and such are causing in terms of fish developing there. So as you talked about the EPA, give that a read, everybody. And now, Congresswoman Kelly, I heard when you brought up the notion that we could have Trump in the White House for 8 years. There, he certainly has his loyal followers who would be thrilled at that notion, but I know Democrats are certainly hoping to take back D.C. as that
Definitely.
Field is growing. Are anybody that you are backing? It's obviously quite early, but is there anybody that
No.
you're getting behind?
No, not at this point. You know, the field is growing, as you say. I still feel it's too early for me to say who I'm with. I want to see what the field will be.
You have been around politics for quite some time, having served as a chief of staff to a state treasurer. You were a Illinois representative to the state house prior to going to Congress. Can you speak to what changes you have seen as a woman throughout the years serving in each of those capacities in government? Is this a time for Democrats to have a woman as a nominee? Is that something you'll be looking toward?
If the person is qualified, it shouldn't matter, you know, what gender they are, what race they are, what religion they are. Definitely in Congress, we now have 113 women serving, which is fantastic. And as most people know, we have our first two Muslim women, our first two Native American women. We have women representing districts that haven't had women. So, you know, I think that's a great thing. But, you know, we're, what, about 51% of the population, and we're still just inching toward being one-third of the House, or closer probably to one-fourth of the House. So we do need good women to serve.
There is a newly elected member to the Illinois House who already is looking to go to Washington, planning a run for the U.S. Senate, because she says the culture in Springfield in Illinois is so bad for women. And she's heard, believes that it is better in the nation's capital than it is the state's. Is that an accurate description? As somebody who, I frankly don't get out to D.C. all that often, when I do, it is to, you know, admire the cherry blossoms and to be a tourist versus really a worker. Is that accurate? Or could you describe the culture of women, particularly in this moment of, quote, Me Too?
Well, I mean, we have a female that's the Speaker of the House, and just culturally across the United States, things can be better in this Me Too moment. I think the Me Too moment has made men more aware of, you know, what they do and how they behave. Not that I'm putting that on all men, but I wouldn't know if I haven't been in Springfield for so many years. I don't know, you know, the culture in Springfield, the culture period. Has to change and has to improve. I think there is improvement because of the Me Too movement, but of course it can get better.
As noted, Illinois does have a new governor now, J.B. Pritzker.
Mm-hmm.
What have your conversations with him been about something that you advocate for, and that is a construction of the South Suburban or Peatone, whatever you want to call it, airport?
Well, we talked to him about that even when he was running. It just didn't start now. And we're talking to his staff and letting him know. And he knows from me and from other elected, the mayors out here, and even state reps, state senators from the Chicago area to Kankakee, Joliet, that this is something, Democrat and Republican, that we want to see happen. So we'll see. We're going to be, he knows we're
But no guarantees on his end about whether he will make it happen or not, or whether he'll do all he can to make it happen. Obviously not.
I mean, I feel more positive about that, that he will make it happen, and he'll see, you know, that it doesn't take away from O'Hare, or it doesn't take away from Midway for this airport to be built.
And then just a quick final question here. I know that you are an advocate for more gun rights, something to be done to rein in the violence that we see in the Chicago area, but also obviously across the nation. Any hopes for action on that front? Or as we talked about with one of your colleagues earlier, Congressman Lipinski says there's a lot that's really taking a backseat as the conversation is so much on immigration and on the shutdown.
No. We are ready with H.R. 8. That's the background check bill, and that's a bipartisan bill. It's been bipartisan. It's just that the Speaker Ryan or Speaker Boehner would call the bill to the floor. It will be called to the floor now, and we have it's a bipartisan, and we will send it to the Senate and hope that it will pass in the Senate and go to the president. And I feel like that's just the beginning, because background checks, of course, are super important. Everybody agrees on it. 90% of Americans want it. Over 70% of NRA members agree with it. But, you know, there's other things that are needed, too. But this is what we said.
Chicago, you know, we're going to have the number of voters in Hispanic majority precincts is going to be, you know, somewhere in the 20% range. So it's a significant amount of the vote. And it's going to take a really low number to qualify for the runoff. You know, a few years ago in 2011, we had an aldermanic race on the west side in the 24th Ward. There were 18 candidates. The candidates that advanced to the runoff had 18 and 13%. You only needed 13% to qualify for the runoff. This time around, the mayor's race, we're going to have anywhere between 13 and 15 candidates. So it's entirely plausible that a number in the mid-teens will qualify you for the runoff.
We'll be back to speak more about all of the money that is flying in and out of candidates' wallets and campaign committees with Illinois Election Data's Scott Kennedy. I'm Amanda Vinicky. More Sunday Spin coming up in just a bit.